It's kind of good to have something a little different in life. If it was always 72 degrees, we'd probably complain about that. But good to see everyone, and hope you've had a good week. And we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning, if you want to go ahead and turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll begin, and we'll get started here in just a moment. We'll pray first, as we always do, and we'll get right into our lesson this morning in chapter 5. We have Paul here. Now, just kind of always keep in mind, in our lesson, we're kind of studying and looking at the phase of Paul's life as he reveals unto us some of the problems and the difficulties that he experienced in his life, and not only in his personal life, but also in the ministry. And in this chapter, I'll just go ahead and kind of lay a little bit of a foundation here. You'll find that Paul is looking and realizing that life is short and death does come to all. He's going to focus a little bit on death, and he has that in his mind, and he is kind of just relating a little bit of what death actually is to a believer, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. Let's do pray, and we'll get into our lesson. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you. Thank you for this day, and Lord, what an honor, what a privilege it is to be in your house with your people today. And we pray for your blessings upon all that's said and done. We pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and direct in our services today. We pray, Lord, that you would always take this time to speak to our hearts. And God, help us to be prepared, to be open, to receive your word. We pray that you would, Lord, do a mighty work in our life today. We're needy people. We need to hear from you. We need to hear from heaven. God, we need your help today, and we pray for that today in all that's said and done in this place. We also, Lord, want to take the moment that we have to mention our, Lord, our missionaries that we support. We do pray for them, and Lord, many that we support here at our church, we pray for your blessings upon them and their families, and we just pray that you bless their works this morning. We also, Lord, want to pray for those that are lost today. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to realize that life is short, death does come. And God, help us to be a witness to this world that we live in, that you are the Savior, you're the one that can save them and give them that eternal home in heaven. We pray, Lord, that you would take and bless those that are sick this morning, those who have special prayer requests or prayer requests in general. We pray that you would bless there, that you would answer the prayers of your people today. We pray now that you bless the next few moments as we study from your word, and we pray for your blessings upon this day once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning, and we're going to dive into our lesson here this morning. Paul is going to look at death, realizing that death does come, and Paul realized that death would come to him. He also instructs us here, and it's very key that as we get into this lesson this morning, you understand Paul was looking even further than that, realizing death is not the end for a believer, that death is just a change of location as far as our dwelling. He'll talk about that as well. But I want to highlight just a few things before we get into that this morning. You'll find in chapter 5 in verse number 1 that Paul begins here in this chapter in verse number 1, "For we know." Now, Paul was a very confident individual. There's one thing that you can learn from Paul, and we'll look at this here in just a moment. Paul was very confident, not necessarily in himself, but what dwelt inside of him, and that being Jesus Christ. He was a very confident person. He was a very highly motivated individual. He labored tirelessly, and he even sacrificed many, many times for the preaching and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The ministry did not come easy for Paul because of the time that he lived in. It was not easy. Travel was not easy. There were a lot of things about the ministry that were not near as easy during his day and time than it is in our day and time. I mean, we come to a church building this morning. We are comfortable. We have heat. We have air conditioning if we need that. We have lighting. We have padded pews. We have psalm books. We have everybody has probably a copy of the Word of God that lies in your lap. And we could go on and on and on, but in Paul's days, they didn't have those. He didn't have a speaker system. He didn't have a microphone. They didn't have
a lot of the conveniences that maybe we have today. And so we could easily say that serving in the ministry was probably more difficult. I know it was a lot more difficult in Paul's life than it is in our life this morning. So he had to deal with that daily in his life, the physical drain and the physical hardships of just living and traveling and preaching, and the struggles of trying to with new churches and with new Christians and all that. It became very difficult, but Paul was a very determined individual. That's why he begins this chapter, and he says here, "For we know." You'll go down to verse number 6. He uses the word confident. He was a very confident individual. Not in himself and not his ability and not in his strength, but in the strength and the power of Jesus Christ. You find in verse number 8, he says, "We are confident." He was confident. He mentions that over and over. Verse number 11, it starts the verse there with knowing. He was assured of what he believed in. He trusted. He knew what he believed. He wasn't second-guessing the message. He believed truly in the message. You'll find down in verse number 16 that he uses the phrase, "know we." He was assured. He didn't doubt the message. He was very confident. He was one that was very motivated for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, with that being said, it does not mean that he didn't have problems, because he's sharing some of his problems in this book. Some of the problems that the early churches had and the early believers had. So, you know, you can't read chapter 5 and think, boy, he was somebody, he just never had a bad day. He never had a sad time. He never had a rainy day in his life. That's the total opposite of what Paul is sharing with us in this book. He's going to deal with death. And it's not something that he maybe wanted to do that day, but he knew that death would come. And Paul is going to describe our physical life as a very temporary situation. And we have to understand that life is temporary. This life that you live, the life that you've lived this past week, and the life that you'll live this next week, God willing, is a temporary life. You can't look at life as long-lasting, because life here is very short. And Paul is going to describe our physical life as a very temporary situation that is going to be replaced with an eternal life and an eternal home. And that's what's going to be so different this morning for a believer in Christ versus a lost person in the world. Our lives are total opposites this morning. We struggle with a lot of the same things here on this earth, but we know this morning that this life here on this earth is very short and it's temporary, and we have a home to look forward to in heaven that is going to be eternal. And that's what Paul is going to share in this chapter here. As we begin in verse number 1, you have to remember also that Paul, by trade, was a tent maker. At times, he'll use those phrases talking about a tent. He'll use the words tabernacle sometimes, and he is describing this the earth life, or the body, the physical body of a believer that does live in this earth, and it has a lot of struggles. But you got to remember that it's just temporary. And Paul was a tent maker by trade, and he knew that a tent, no matter how well-crafted a tent may be, is just a temporary structure. Nobody lives in a tent thinking it's going to last 100 years or 50 years or 70 years. I mean, tents are just something temporary. And he's going to use that a little bit as some illustrations in 2 Corinthians as well. And when he uses those phrases talking about tabernacle or tent and so forth, he's talking about his earthly life or his earthly body and how that it's just temporary. Paul had physical struggles in life, and he deals with that in 2 Corinthians as well. But here in this chapter, Paul is reflecting a little bit about death. Now, no one likes to just sit down and carry on a conversation about dying. It's not something that we enjoy discussing. It's not something that we necessarily just, you know, puts a smile on our face when we start talking about death, because often when we discuss death, what little bit we do discuss it in life, it's usually a little bit more on a sad note or in a negative light, because it's not something that we, I don't think anybody came to church this morning hope we die today. We come to church this morning wanting to live. Our desire daily is to want to live. We want to live a long, happy, prosperous life. But Paul is going to be realistic here. Paul does realize that, you know what, death does come. It is a part of life. It's a part of a believer's life. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that your physical body is not going to die someday. We don't know when we're going to die, but unless the Lord returns, we're all going to die someday. We understand that. Unless the Lord returns, there will be a day where there will be a funeral service for you. And we don't like to think about that. That's not something that we discuss much in life, if any. You know, sometimes we'll make, some people make a few plans for death. Some people may buy a burial plot. Sometimes people may go to a funeral home and set up a plan. I think that's, you know, it's hard to kind of maybe do that and think about that. But what is that? That when people do that, it's people acknowledging that, hey, I'm going to die someday. And that's what Paul is going to deal with this entire chapter here. He says, for we know, verse number one, let me just go into it here, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, all right, he's talking about the earthly tabernacle. What is that? That's his body. That's his physical body that Paul is discussing here. He says, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. So he's given twofold here. He's talking about his earthly body and how, you know what, it doesn't live forever. But as a believer, he has a home that is waiting for him, that he will leave this earthly body and he's going to live in this eternal home that was made by the very hands of God. Now, as a believer, we have an eternal home that God himself is preparing for us. Now, as a believer, you can take and look at death. Now, we don't know when it's going to come. We don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know where we're going to be when it comes. But we know that there's going to be a day, Paul is saying, when this earthly body of mine is going to live no more. It will be no more. But he looks past that and realizes that he will transfer from that earthly body of his, and he is going to transfer over into an eternal home that God Almighty has provided for him. Now, that is one thing in life, well, there's many things, but that's one of many things in life that a lost person does not have to look forward to. And so he continues on. You'll find here in verse number one that Paul says, for we know. Paul is confident. Paul knew that it is true that this earthly body is going to die, but that's not the end of it. That's not the end of the story for Paul. Paul says, I have an eternal home that God has prepared and made for him in the heavens. And that is where he will spend eternity, in the heavens, in a home that God has prepared just for him. Now, you'll find here in verse number two that he kind of goes from the thought of an earthly body and an earthly home. Now he's going to kind of change the metaphor, if you would, from a building to clothing. And he's using this as an illustration. He's using verse number one as kind of an illustration a little bit, talking about a home and how, you know, our minds can comprehend that. He, in verse number two, says, for as we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Talking about clothing in verse number two. You see, Paul here was teaching that death is almost like shedding an old garment and putting on a new and more glorious clothing, and that's what's going to happen to a believer. He's using these illustrations to describe that this earthly body is like an earthly home, And it's going to die someday, but I'm going to transfer from this earthly body to an eternal home in heaven that is prepared and made by God. In verse number 2, he kind of uses the illustration of clothing. It's like taking off an old garment and putting on a new garment and being clothed, if you would, in this glorious home that God has prepared for us. Now, every believer has this promise. There's nobody excluded. Everybody that is a child of God, if you have taken and put in your faith in Jesus Christ, and you are a child of God, you have these promises that Paul is describing here, that we have an eternal home that's waiting upon us. See, Paul looked at death, but Paul didn't dwell a lot. You'll find as you read on, Paul didn't dwell on the earthly death as much as he does what happens after death, and Paul could look beyond death. And that's what we as believers can do. You know, a child of God can look beyond death and see that there is an eternal home waiting on that individual. And that's what Paul is doing. Paul is just kind of meditating here and talking and discussing a little bit about this earthly body. Paul says that I dwell in. It's going to die. It's like a tent. It's just temporary. It's just like an earthly building. It's not going to last forever, but I've got an eternal home that's waiting on me. Paul says in verse number 2, this body that you see, it's like an old garment that's going to be cast off someday, and I'm going to get a new garment someday that will be given to me by Jesus Christ himself. And Paul was looking beyond this life. Paul was looking beyond the grave. He was looking beyond the funeral home, if you would. He's looking beyond death as we know it here on this earth and realizing that that's not the end here for a believer, that we've got an eternal home that waits on us. And this is one of the ways that Paul is going to keep himself going in the ministry. You know, you'll find in life that it's easy to be a quitter. We talked a little bit about this last week. You know, one thing about Paul that you have to say, Paul was not a quitter. Paul found a way to overcome the obstacles and the discouragement and the troubles of life. And we talked about how that he acknowledged last week that everywhere he turns, he's got trouble in his life. I mean, he had problems. He had physical ailments. I mean, he had all the problems that we would have today. But one thing about Paul was determined, I'm not going to quit. Now, how is it that some people just seem to continue to go forward for God for their life, but yet there's others that just fall by the wayside? And there's a lot of factors in that, and I don't think we can just pinpoint one, but I just believe this morning one of the keys of being faithful to God is just determining, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw in the towel. It's being confident in what you know in life. I know this morning that as a child of God, I know, I'm confident that I have an eternal home that's waiting on me past death here on this earth. I know that. I'm assured of that. I can rest assured. I know, I'm confident. And as Paul is here, and that confidence in knowing what he knows is going to keep him going from day to day. I think sometimes people quit for many reasons on God. They quit church. They quit trying to serve God. They quit trying to live for God. Excuse me. And I think many times people do that. And I think some of it sometimes it goes back, they never were confident in what they believed in life. Paul continues on. If you would, you go down to verse number 5. I want to kind of bring out a word here. Verse number 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing of God, who also hath given unto us an earnest of the Spirit. Now the word earnest there, if you'll underline, just kind of make a little bit of a note there. The word earnest there means a down payment. Paul says, you know, I'm so confident, and one of the reasons I'm confident is because even God himself put a down payment And it is a pledge that God will finish what he has started in us, and he's going to glorify us and bring us into his presence in the heavens in an eternal home. And that earnest or that down payment, it's the Spirit of God. Now, if you're a child of God this morning, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. It is a down payment, if you would. Many times nowadays, if you go to buy something, they want a down payment. Nowadays, you got all these scams on television where people are trying to sell you something with no down payment required. Well, I'm glad God made a down payment on my eternal soul. And I'm glad to know this morning that it's not something that I'm just happy to talk about. I don't get excited talking about death, but I do get excited knowing that death's not the end for me. And Paul says, now one thing keeps me going, and the reason I can keep preaching and teaching and starting churches and winning people and missionary journeys, and the reason I can do all that I'm doing in my life is because I have a vision past death, and I realize, hey, I've got an eternal home waiting on me. And it's a home that's like no other. God is actually building it with his own hands. And he's going to give it to me someday. And Paul says, I know, I'm assured, I'm confident. We know and know we. He uses all these phrases in this chapter. And Paul is so confident in his ministry that he's involved in. And it's all because he realizes that life, it's just temporary here. Boy, I've got something lots better than this. And God Almighty is going to give it to me. You'll find verse number 5, just kind of keep note there. I think it's used one other spot in the chapter as well, the word earnest. And that word basically means a down payment. And kind of keep that in mind. Verse number 6, I'm not going to read it, but you'll find that Paul looked forward to his time when he would actually be in the presence of God. You ever wondered, what does God look like? You ever wondered, what's the voice of God sound like? I wonder, is his voice deep or what kind of tone is there to the voice of God? But Paul, he was one that he just looked forward to the time that he would be present with the Lord. You know, I think sometimes that we're probably all a little guilty of putting too much emphasis on the life that we live today when we ought to be putting a lot more emphasis on the life that we're going to live someday with Jesus Christ. Paul looked forward to it. That's what keeps him going. How do you think Paul is so successful in life? Is he just something supernatural that God formed? No, Paul was just as human as anybody else. But what is it that made Paul different? What is it that made Paul stick out in the crowd? What is it that made Paul so successful in the ministry of Jesus Christ? And we can say, well, you know, the reason he had so much success, it was something new. The gospel hadn't been preached all over the world yet. And you can say all you want to, but the life that Paul lived was not an easy life. It was not easy preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It wasn't easy building buildings and traveling and all that Paul did in his ministry there. But it would be easy to get discouraged. It was easy to quit, but Paul was determined and confident, and he knew he wasn't going to quit. He was going to keep on going because of what lies ahead for him past the grave. He says in verse number 8, once again there, he's that phrase, we are confident. Now, let me go back to verse number 7. This is a familiar phrase here. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, that little phrase there is very key for a believer as well. I was going to say we do not, but I need to say we should not, and hopefully we don't, live and act by what we see in life or what we feel in life. That's not how a believer lives. Paul says we as believers, we don't live like normal people. We don't live like everybody else. He says we're motivated by faith. We live by faith. We don't live by sight. Now, one of the greatest failures in the Christian life is that many times we as believers, we fail so often in life because we live life based on what we see in life. Paul said it's the opposite. You don't ever live the Christian life based on what you see. You see, Paul was basically saying here that he was motivated more by what he cannot see. Paul, Paul doesn't know what his home's going to look like. Paul can't really give you an exact, picture, I guess, of what his home's going to look like in heaven. There was a lot of things that Paul preached about that he's never personally seen in his life. And Paul says here in verse number 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Boy, that's key, but that's very difficult to live that way in life. You see, we're so focused on everything we do see in life. We allow every little thing we see in life to get us all bent out of shape and that's why sometimes, watching too much news and too much television can be bad for you, because it affects the way you feel, the way you act, the way you react, the way you live in life. It doesn't really matter what they tell me on the news. I realize, what's going to happen in life? Whatever God wants to happen in life. God's in control. I don't care who's in Congress. I don't care who our governors may be, or our congressmen, or our president, or who the judges are, or the Supreme Courts are. And don't get me wrong, I think, those things are important in life, and I think we ought to vote, and I think we ought to encourage and support and whatever the case may be, different people that work in politics and so forth. But my hope's not in them this morning. My hope does not lie in Donald Trump. Let me tell you what he is. He's just a man. My hope this morning lies in heaven. And Paul basically is saying here, verse number 7, you don't live life and live your life and act and structure your life around everything you see in life. You live by faith, and living by faith many times is living life based on what you cannot see in life. Very key that we understand that in our Christian life, it's not, life isn't simple. And there are going to be times in life where you're going to do some things or have to make some decisions in life, and you're just going to have to step out in faith that God knows what he's doing. And Paul says, I live my life every single day. I didn't live my life based on what I could see in life. I live my life based on faith. And he goes on in verse number 8. He says, for we are confident, he says here. You'll find that, he says, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In verse number 8, what's Paul saying? He says, man, I look forward to the day that I'm going to be with my Savior. I wonder how often we live daily or weekly or monthly, and we never really focus a little bit that there's coming a day when we're going to live every day of our life with Jesus Christ. You see, you got to get your eyes off this day. You got to get your eyes off this life. You've got to get your eyes off this earthly tabernacle that you dwell in with all the problems and the struggles and difficulties of life. You've got to look beyond that. Yes, this body's even going to die someday. And yes, there's going to be an event in life, unless the Lord returns first, that our bodies will be put in the grave someday. But hey, Paul says, but I'm going to look past that as well and realize I've got a Savior that's waiting on me. I've got a life outside of this life that's waiting on me. I've got a Savior that's waiting on me. And Paul continued every day of his life with this thought in his mind. He said, I'm not going to live life based on what I see. I'm going to live life by faith, he said. He says in verse 8, we're confident. What are we confident? I'm confident that there's coming a day that I'm going to be out of this body, that this old body is going to be traded in for a new home. It's going to be like taking off an old garment, putting on a new garment, and Jesus Christ is going to be the one giving me that new garment. I'm going to get a new body. And Paul says, man, life is going to be much better in the future than what I have right now. You know, one thing you can be encouraged about this morning is if you're a child of God this morning, may I say, life's going to get better. Now, I don't know when it's going to happen, but there's going to come a day, and it's either going to be by the return of Jesus Christ, or it's going to be through the grave of this body, but there's coming a day that's going to be a lot better than what I've got right now. And Paul looked forward to being with the Lord in verse number 8. He says in verse number 9, wherefore. Now the word wherefore means because of everything that came before. Now you've got wherefore. He says, we labor. Paul said, you mean to tell you why I get up and serve God every day? It's because of all these things I just gave you before verse number 9. For, he says, wherefore we labor, he says, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Verse number 9, he was a laborer. Paul was never idle. Paul was not lazy. Paul never quits. Paul never throws in the towel. He labors every single day of his life through all the problems. You remember last week, he discussed how that everywhere he looked in his life, there's trouble. It's not that Paul didn't have problems in life. Paul's had a life full of trouble. Paul says, man, I'm living above that. Does my body wear out? Paul says, yes. Paul discusses a little bit of some of the physical problems that he has in his life. It's not that he didn't have physical problems. It's not that Paul never did get sick. It's not that Paul never had to go to a doctor. It's not that Paul didn't have heartaches and heartbreaks and being discouraged in life and depressed in life and tired and worn out. Paul faced all those things. But how is it that Paul, as he can say here in verse number 9, wherefore we labor? How do you keep going? You don't live this life based on what you see. Now, come on, let's be honest this morning. If we lived our life this morning based on what we see and not by what we know, let me tell you what, this church wouldn't have five people in this morning. You know what my body's going to tell me? I'm tired. Anybody tired this morning? Anybody tired? I'll be honest with you. I'm tired of cold weather. I'm never satisfied. I mean, it's either raining or it's too hot or it's too cold. I mean, very few days do I have that's actually just perfect. I'm tired. I'm wore out. You get discouraged. I mentioned last week, your washing machine goes out, your oven goes out, the car goes to the shop. They total out my Jeep the other day. I'm driving rental vehicles now. I don't even own anything anymore. I don't know. Now, I did tell somebody the other day, don't ever say, what next? Oh, don't ever say that. Because if I started living life based on what I see, let me tell you what I would do this morning. I'd sleep in. How many else could have slept in a little bit more this morning? Now, don't lie, you probably could, a few of you could sleep in a little bit more. There's a lot of things, if I were living life based on what I see, and I know this may sound bad, but I'm not too sure I'd be here this morning. Let me tell you why I am here this morning, because of some things I know. Number one, I could just say this morning, the reason I'm here is because I know I'm supposed to be in church on Sunday morning. Say, well, that's not a good reason. Well, it's better than staying home. There's some things I know. I know as a child of God that I have a home that's waiting on me past this life that I live. Have I seen it? Never have. Let me tell you what that is. It's just living by faith. So Paul says, hey, let me tell you how I keep going. Let me tell you how I'm going to labor today. Because of all the things he just gave you prior to verse number 8. Verse number 9, we labor. What does that mean? It means you don't just sit idly by. It means you just don't sit down and do nothing. He says you go to work. You go to service. You serve God. You live for him. Why? Well, you know, I mean, there's many reasons why. I don't know. You know, heaven that lies ahead is a pretty good reason why we ought to work for God. God's the one who gave me life in the first place this morning. God's the one who gave me air to breathe this morning. There's a lot of reasons why I ought to serve him this morning. I just don't feel it's right to sit at home this morning and watch television when I know what God requires. And then it gets past the requirements and realize, you know, there are times when I go and I do because, you know why? Because I love God. I want to please Him. Why wouldn't I serve Him? I'd be honest with you this morning, I'd be too afraid not to serve Him. I'd be afraid of what could happen if I quit serving Him. So we labor. He says in verse number 10, he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." That's a pretty good motivator. You know what Paul's reminding us? That there's coming a day when every single believer is going to stand before God. It is called the judgment seat of Christ, as you find here in verse number 10. It is for saved people only, not lost people. Lost people have a different judgment. He says here in verse number 10, "For we must all." Well, do you know what that word "all" means? You're not going to be exempt. All of us. He says here, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, sometimes we look at the judgment seat of Christ as maybe a little bit of a negative light, that it's going to be a little bit depressing. The judgment seat of Christ is not a bad time, it is a good time. Are y'all with me this morning? Now, saved people will be at this judgment, and saved people will receive their rewards for their service that they give to God. There are different crowns that will be given out, and I'm not going to go into the discussion about the different types of crowns and how you earn those crowns and those rewards, but saved people here will have to give an account of their life that they live for God, the service that they've given unto Him, and you're going to find because of that service that you gave unto God, God is going to reward you for that. Now, here's one thing you've always got to remember. Judgment, all right? We hear that word judgment, we think, oh, that's bad. Judgment's not always bad. You see, judgment is basically a revelation of what has already happened. The judgment seat of Christ is not a time of punishment. The judgment seat of Christ is a time of rewards. You get rewarded for... You know, isn't it amazing how God just keeps giving and giving and giving and giving? I mean, God this morning continues to keep giving and giving. You take the life that you do live and the service that you give. I mean, it's still a wonderful life. I mean, there's a lot of blessings that we have even in this life. And then at the end, God's going to reward you even more. And you'll find here that Paul says here in verse number 10, here's a good reason why you get up and you keep going. You don't quit. You don't throw in the towel. Here's a good reason why we labor from verse number 9, because there's coming a day in verse number 10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now, I'm not naive to think this morning that we're not going to have a little bit of a problem with that last little word, the bad, because we've all got some bad. I'm not naive to think that there's going to be some rewards that maybe I could have had that I'm not going to get because of something that I've done or some service that I did not do, but I do know that there's going to be some judgments passed down and I'm going to lose out to some degree because there's not anybody in this room that's only going to have good in their life. We kind of have both, but now, you live your life every single day for many reasons for Christ, but one of the motivating factors that will motivate us to want to serve God this week, you know, no matter how tired we may be, no matter how discouraged you may be or disappointed or heartbroken or whatever the case may be, one of the reasons you just keep on going is because there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ. And I want some good to be present that day. He goes on in verse number 11. He says, "Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men," he says here. We persuade men. We try to win people. We try to bring people in. We try to convince them that this is the right path of life. We persuade men. I've got to hurry here. You'll find out in verse number 14, a well-known verse, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." The word "constraineth" there means to hold together, to control. And Paul says here and acknowledges here that his life, the only thing holding his life together was the love of Christ. Paul says, the only way I didn't lose my, the only reason I never went insane in life is because of the love of Christ. The reason I could labor and keep going when I was tired and worn out and physically unable maybe at times, the only thing he says here that kept me held together in life was the love of Christ. You find in verse number 15, "And that he died for all, that they should live, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." You see, we are to live daily for Jesus Christ. You find down in verse number 17, he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away," he says here. "Behold, all things are become new." You know, as you read this chapter, you just kind of get the idea. You know, Paul's pretty excited about just being saved. You know, sometimes it would do us a lot of good to quit looking and living our life based on everything we see in life, start living by faith and realizing it is a wonderful life to be a child of God. I know this world's a mess. It's crazy. It's upside down. It's backwards. It's ungodly. It's sinful. A lot of bad things happen. A lot of very ungodly, wicked things happen in life. But, above all that, it's still a wonderful life to live. And Paul was just excited to be a child of God, to be a servant of his, to be someone who could just go out daily and just work for it. Tell others about Christ, preach the gospel, start a church, go on a missionary journey. I mean, Paul was just excited that he had all that he had in life. Now, if you were to take Paul and you take him off to the side and you were to kind of look through his life, you would not be impressed with his possessions. You would not be impressed with the wealth that Paul had, because Paul did not have wealth, as man would call wealth. But you'll find Paul is a very happy individual, even though he was very, very troubled in life, problems, difficulties. But Paul found a way to live above all that. And just reminded us here in verse number 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Verse number 18, he says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Isn't it amazing here that Paul describes the ministry as a gift that God gave him from God? God gave it to him. You know, this morning, God's given us a ministry. The ministry is almost identical to the one that Paul had. It's just sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. Where's the mission field? It's everywhere. Who needs to hear? Everyone. You know, there's not a bad place to share the gospel. There's not a wrong place to witness. And Paul was just glad, excited, that he could every single day get up and labor in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He was just excited to have Jesus Christ as his Savior. He even discusses death in this chapter. We've already talked about that, but he'd even look past that. And I think the key, to me, and it's just personally, I'm just going to kind of give you my personal opinion. I think verse 7 is the key. How does Paul do it? He lived every single day by faith and not by sight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We pray for your blessings upon our service this morning, the service this evening. And God, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Help motivate us. And God, we're not naive this morning. We know that there are people here, maybe all, maybe many, who have trouble in life, problems, difficulties. But God, please help us this morning to realize that life can be lived above that, and we can look beyond what we see here on this earth. Help us to keep going. Help us to keep laboring. Help us to not quit. Help us to not throw in the towel. And God, help us to be successful for your honor and for your glory and for your praise only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.